Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town Transfer Talk video. I'm joined as ever by AJ as we keep you up to speed to all the latest links and rumours surrounding the Blues. The transfer window opens on the 15th of June, this Monday. We were not expecting Kieran McKenna to depart, and I don't know how much that would change things, AJ. But how are you? You've been able to get over that just yet? It's very shocking news, but football does not stop, and transfers as well won't stop.
Yeah, welcome to the first transfer talk of the post-Kieran McKenna era. What a weird thought to have. Maybe not as weird given this pod is quite a new brainchild, but yeah, it is still odd to say, weird to think, isn't it? And we're in still this kind of weird middle zone of nothingness where the season's done, has been done for a while. We've got the World Cup coming up, still got the World Chart up, which I showcased on another video we did earlier this week with about Jens Kyusta, which his deadline to sign for Ipswich Town with the permanent option has passed. Anyway, I digress. Going on to that question, will it change things? I think it's going to have to, isn't it? Because Kieran McKenna is obviously so front and centre with recruitment, and it's very difficult to sign players, to bring players in when they don't know who the manager is going to be. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm sure that Ipswich Town don't want to hang about in appointing a new manager, and maybe later on in this video we might have a little chat about some names who could be through the door and speculate and discuss a bit more on that.
Definitely, my friend. And last week we had the curse, the first time that Transfer Talk had the curse of a link that dropped, I think, a few hours after we recorded. And that's the first name we're going to be discussing. We actually are recording this a bit earlier than normal. And recording this Thursday afternoon, late afternoon. This will go out, of course, as a video on Friday, and then it'll go out as a podcast. So listeners, hello. I think 6 a.m. on Saturday. So I'm sure there could be other links, but because of the management change, maybe we won't be seeing as many links in the next few days and weeks. But let's start off, AJ, with a goalkeeper, Nick Pope, who is from these parts. I think he's actually a Cambridgeshire boy, isn't he? So but of course was at Town as a youngster, got released as a 16-year-old and had to go sort of up through the ranks, and then sort of made it to the Premier League, won caps for England. He's currently at Newcastle, the 34-year-old shot stopper. And yeah, he's out of contract at the Magpies next summer. And this would be a bit of a dream homecoming because of just the journey he's been on. Let us know a bit more on this report. And yeah, be interesting to see if this could happen.
Yeah, I think this is probably, when we look through all of the rumours and reports we've had so far, the most reliable one that has come through. Nick Pope, this one was broken by the Shields Gazette up in the northeast, who reported that Town had been in talks for a deal for Nick Pope. There is competition with Leeds United as well, but he's someone that has been reported that Ipswich are interested in, and I think the understanding is that they would be interested in taking Nick Pope on, and it's clear to see why. He's a 10-cap England international. He's 34 now, so even though he's not going to have years left at the top of the game, don't forget, goalkeepers can go on for a while, but he's had real experience, and real experience firstly at a local level. He's, as you mentioned, he's from Soham, which is not too far from where I am down the road, and has played locally at Bury. He's been at Cambridge United as well, got the top on as well, just to back that on. He's been at Bury, had a few different loan spells when he was at Charlton Athletic, and then made the jump up to the Premier League with Burnley, and now has been playing a really good level with Newcastle United, where he's at the moment, and is even playing Champions League football for the Magpies in the last campaign. And it's a really interesting link because of the fact that even though he's never played professionally for Ipswich, he came through the ranks at Ipswich. He used to be a season ticket holder. He was there, I think it was from the age of about 10 until 16 when he was let go. So it's an interesting one that feels like a bit of a full circle move, doesn't it? The fee that's been touted is £5 million, which would be really good. And Ipswich, if they could get this one done, as I say, I think the interest is definitely there, would be getting a really good experienced goalkeeper who's done it at the top level, who's been a part of World Cup squads, for example, with England, things like that. Let's wait and see. It would, on the flip side, be incredibly harsh, you'd have to say, on Christian Walton. But it looks like Ipswich, be it Pope or someone else, are going to be in the market for a new goalkeeper this summer.
And I can imagine he would want to come here as a first-choice goalkeeper. I know he's getting a bit older now, but as goalies, they can go on until, you know, 40-odd. So, and I can imagine, you know, he's got that Premier experience coming in. And unfortunately, there is you've got to be a bit ruthless. And the sentiment there, I like Walton, though. I think he does. I think he deserves an opportunity. But when he got an opportunity, maybe signing Nick Pope, I'm like, maybe, but it'd be a good competition to have them two. And it's like, oh, we've had this discussion already on the podcast about Alex Palmer. You know, what does his future hold for him? Does he want to be on the bench and sort of wait for his time? Or does he want to, you know, be first choice somewhere else? So, yeah, goalkeeping departments can be very interesting this summer. Of course, Aaron Muric has already signed permanently with now Sassuolo in Italy. It's not a position we need to strengthen in. That's not the thing we need desperately right now. It's not important at the moment, but I can imagine there'll be other goalkeepers that may get linked. But I don't mind that.
No, I think that it's going to be interesting to see what the dynamic is. I mean, you talk about being ruthless. I guess that Nick Pope's been on the other side of that, where he's played, I think, most of the games from Newcastle this season. He's been competing with Aaron Ramsdale, who's been on loan from Southampton. The expectation is that Ramsdale will go back to Southampton to be sold on because he's not going to want to be in the Championship. And Newcastle have now gone out and they've signed a goalkeeper from the French second tier. I'm going to butcher it, but we'll give it a go. Yuan Joan. Joan? I don't know. He's a 20-year-old French goalkeeper, 15 clean sheets in the French second tier. Last season he saved a penalty as well, so 6'6" at 20 is pretty impressive, god. But yeah, he's made the move. I believe it's around the £20 million mark, and that's going to push Pope, there we go, down the pecking order. So that's where this comes from. It's interesting to see what the dynamic will be it that he comes in, or I know that even though there's not been any kind of concrete rumours, Radek Vitek at United has been someone that's kind of been, there've been some whispers about him as well on social media. It looks like there is going to be a bit of a restructure, and then you've got to think about what that's going to look like. You've got Kieran Slicker who comes back. I would imagine he's going to go out on loan, but we'll have to wait and see. I'd imagine that League One would be the next step for him after a good campaign at Barnet. Will the new manager, again, I was about to say, will Kieran McKenna? Kieran McKenna likes to operate with three goalkeepers in the senior squad. Is that going to be the case for the new manager? If so, then how do you balance that? Because Slicker's then in an interesting position. Don't forget Alex Palmer in all this. He was the first choice as recently as the start of this season and was in the Premier League in the latter stages as well. Who you'd have to say, if the pecking order shifted again, would probably be pushed towards the exit door this summer. So an interesting dynamic to find. And if Ipswich do go out and get a new goalkeeper, which it looks like they will, then the new boss is going to have a bit of a headache in terms of trying to find the right balance and the right numbers there.
Definitely. It's going to be take a while to get used to saying, you know, the new manager's side. You know, it's been Kieran McKenna's men, Kieran McKenna's side, Kieran McKenna's blues. It's going to be very weird when that new manager gets appointed and sort of saying his name in those sort of words as we would do with Kieran McKenna. But right then, Nick Pope, first name out of the hat. Next up is a striker, as a name that we've sort of been linked with before. He's been on a lot of list of targets, and Tad, of course, apparently showing interest in him in January. And that is Callum Wilson, the 34-year-old who spent last season at West Ham. For some reason, I've got West Brom. I don't know why I put it on my notes. It says West Brom, but it's definitely West Ham.
We don't need any more West Brom players, Ross.
No, we do not. That's maybe what I was thinking. I was like, oh yeah, we just take one of the West Brom players. But he, of course, 7 goals in 33 games last season for the Hammers. Of course, they got relegated to the Championship. He's out of contract at West Ham this summer. A good Premier League option, my friend AJ. Let us know a bit more on this one. And I think, you know, Town fans were like getting a bit excited, and maybe in January that he could have signed. But in the end, he stayed at West Ham and unfortunately wasn't able to keep him up.
Yeah, weird situation with Callum Wilson. We'll come on to that in a minute. Anyway, the link has come from TWTD. They reported the interest back in January and have come back with this one again, saying he's a player on a list similar to when They reported that, who was it, Timur Ekbunam was a player on the list a couple of weeks ago. So we're starting to get a picture of what the transfer targets might be looking like for Ipswich Town. So that's one of the names that they have reported. And then the situation with Callum Wilson is a little bit bizarre, where, let me bring you back to January then. Everyone thinks that Callum Wilson's going to be available, and it gets widely reported that he's not in Nuno's plans. It's just they don't want him there, and that he might actually have his contract torn up to be able to then go and leave for free midway through the season. Then they go and play Tottenham, and West Ham are quite low on the ground in terms of their attacking numbers. So Wilson, in almost like a farewell way, gets on the pitch and he goes and scores. I think it was the winner in that game, right at the end of that match. A huge, huge one, given where those two teams were. And all of a sudden, the picture changes again. West Ham put their foot down and said, actually, you know what? Yeah, we want to keep you. Didn't get to play that much. Had some good opportunities to get minutes towards the latter stages of the campaign. But he never really felt like he was someone who was fancied by Nuno Espirito Santo. And then you get to the end of the season. Who knows what's going on now? So Callum Wilson is out of contract, 34 years old. West Ham have just been relegated. Callum Wilson hasn't played championship football in the last decade. And they've got conflicting reports at the moment, where he's come out and put a statement on Instagram, which looks pretty finite, and saying, thanks for the memories. Not exact words, but it looks like a departure message if you go back and read it. West Ham, apparently, according to quite a few reports, have now gone and put a contract offer on the table for him as well. So who knows if he could be staying. He's also not mentioned in their retained list, which includes Adama Traore and Lucas Fabianski being released. And so now he's in this very weird limbo situation where he could go anywhere. Could he be interested in making the move to Portman Road? Possibly. And I like the idea of an experienced number nine coming in with a good goal record. Would he feel that he could be the starting striker in the championship for West Ham next season if Castellanos is to be sold or moved on? Possibly as well. The one thing I wouldn't rule out as well, and with other links that we've seen, his boyhood club are back in the Premier League. And we talk about Nick Pope going full circle. Callum Wilson is another one I would not at all be surprised to see at Coventry City, his boyhood club, this summer. So one to watch. A really bizarre situation, all things considered. But he's certainly one I'd like as an option, albeit probably not as a starter in the Premier League.
Yeah, he's not a long-term option, and he wouldn't be sort of first choice in my eyes. He would be a good option to have around with that experience. But yeah, watch this space on Callum Wilson. But yeah,
that's a return. Second choice striker?
Second choice, definitely. I think we need to get sort of marquee striker, and then he'll be the second choice. Obviously, don't forget George Hurst, who I thought did okay last time in the Premier League. He could be another option. It's just going to be so interesting now this summer, because with Kieran McKenna gone, there'd be some players who may not be in the new manager's plans, or some players may go, actually, I don't know, I don't get along with this new manager, or, you know, they may not start a play. So it's up in the air. Yeah, very much so. So, these names that are getting linked already could have been Kieran McKenna targets. But I also think clubs, they also scout players and, you know, recruitment teams and stuff. They still look for the future as well. I know Kieran McKenna probably had the final word on signings, but I can imagine, you know, you've seen different clubs sign players before when they've not even got a manager in the door. You know, we saw bloody Rod Edwards leave at Wolves when they just signed Trippier and Jimenez. So,
and both of those players, sorry to go on a tangent, both of those players have come out and said how instrumental Rob Edwards was to them joining Wolves, and they sacked him. Bonkers that. Sorry, Ross, go on.
That's fine. No, but yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, two experienced players, AJ, links. Next up is an interesting name, bit of a sexy sort of player. I'm sure it would be on your sort of target list in a way. It's sort of like left field choice. Someone I will admit I'd never heard of. And I'm going to just try to remember how to say his name.
Go on.
Ilan Cabal?
I'll give you that. Yeah. Ilan Cabal at Paris FC. Let's talk about him. Very interesting name, as you say. not the first that Town fans have probably heard of him, because there was a report put out by, I think it might have been Peter Rourke, back in January that Town were interested. We understand that that's wide of the mark. They were not going to look at signing Ilan Cabal in the Championship back in January. And now the reports have come back again. We've seen that Alan Nixon at The Sun has been reporting that the Blues are keen on signing him, as has Pete O'Rourke, has also put out that he's keen on coming to the Premier League. But competition, back from his current league with Marseille, and also from Brentford and West Ham, are other teams mentioned. He's currently at Paris FC, who have kind of shot through the ranks recently. I think they've got a bit of money behind them, but they've come in to Ligue 1 for the first time in a long old time. They've had a solid mid-table finish there. And Cabal's had a really good season, and it's one of his first at the level. He's had 26 starts with 9 goals, 4 assists. So he's clearly someone who's performing well, and you can see why the interest is there. Also, not the first Paris FC player linked. Remember, we spoke about Mustafa Mbow a few weeks ago. An interesting one for sure. The fact that we know that Town weren't signing in January, of course, doesn't mean that they won't be interested in him again this summer. There's always that possibility, but does send a few alarm bells. The other thing I would say is he looks like a really good player from everything I've seen from him. A lot to like with his footwork, with his eye for goal, his creativity, his versatility. He's a natural 10 who can play wide right. What I would say is he's small. He's short. He's not overly well built. And I think that has been a bit of an issue playing in France. And you'd imagine it'd be more of an issue playing in England. Like him a lot. Similarities to Hutchinson, but I think Amari probably had a little bit of height and a bit more size on Cabal, who definitely is on the smaller side. So, keep an eye on it. Wouldn't hang my hat on this one happening, though.
Definitely. To be fair, though, I swear we've got a lot of key scouting in France. You know, as I said before, you know, as all matters see, well, I know Cedric Kipre technically had played in England before. But he was Jens. Playing in France. Jens, of course. And we've been linked to a few other players who've been playing in France. So we must have like a scout who just goes to France.
And easy to go on the Eurostar like we did last year.
To Auxerre. Definitely. I don't know if you hear my door.
I thought it was luckily, mine going for a
minute. No, luckily, my other half's in, so she's going to open the door for me. But yes, that is the sort of links that have got a bit of credibility, potentially.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the next two that we're going to talk about, we think, are on the more unreliable side, I think is the best way of putting it.
Dodgy.
In the notes I sent to you, I put it as dodgy. I think take it with a pinch of salt, essentially. As I always try and caveat with all of these pieces, you will get transfers everywhere. All of these links, they come from anywhere, and you see a lot of people do like reliability tiers, things like that. We always try and pride ourselves as being the best of the best, and of course you'll have reliable sources. I'm sure that, you know, The Athletic and the Shields Gazette, as we had with the Pope link, and people like that locally and nationally, you'll get it. Some of them, of course, don't have the same reliability. They might be agent driven, they might be total nonsense, but we want to give you everything. We want to give you a thorough breakdown, and we also want to share our thoughts on certain links. So a couple to talk about.
Yes. Lionel Messi is let's talk about two players I've never heard of, I will admit. Hendrik Falconer and Fisnik Aslani.
Well done.
Who one is a defender, one is a striker. One is, I think, is Kosovo international, so he'll know, I'm sure. Although I think he's born in Germany, and that is Fisnik Aslani. He'll know Muric for their Kosovo teammates. And we've got a Norwegian defender, so Sindra may know him a little bit. AJ, who do you want to start with? Just start with Hendrik quickly.
Let's start with him, Hendrik Falconer. So this was a link. Let me get it up properly. This was a link that came through from onTheMinute.com. Yeah. Who reported that it was Burnley have joined the race with Ipswich and Brentford and monitoring Norwegian defender, 23 years old. He's currently playing, and I love this, for Viking FK. And he's done very well. And it's very difficult, I think, for players playing in Scandinavia to get to the level and the profile that they need to be at to kind of show what they're capable of on an international level. But he's been called up for Norway. He's going to the World Cup. A young defender, big physical kind of side to him. He's also surprisingly good on the ball for his size as well. He's someone that Viking FK really want to hold on to because they kind of want to build the team around him. He's been excellent since he's come in, but understandably, reports of interest in town are said to be monitoring him along with, as I say, Burnley and Brentford. Feels a very Brentford move, probably because of the Scandi links. I'd have the reliability level on low on this one, to be honest, but clearly someone who fits this kind of new wave of recruitment, this new era of recruitment that Ipswich are trying to embark upon, and someone who you would imagine could grow into being a top Premier League player with his age and with his profile, even though you might not want to sign him as that starting centre-back. And should we move on to Fisnik Aslani then? We'll go straight on to it, just so you don't have to say it, Ross. I thought I'd get it in there. He's someone that I have spoken about on Transfer Target Pieces before. He's been at Hoffenheim for quite a while now, but it was his loan spell when he went out to Elversberg. In the German second tier in 2024-25. Brilliant. Incredibly well over there. He scored 18 goals in 33 league games for them. They just missed out on promotion. They have actually been promoted this year for the first time in their history without him. But yeah, he's back at Hoffenheim and he's now used that loan spell to really nail down a starting spot. He's been excellent for them. He's a big physical player, but he's also very versatile in that he's a natural number 9, 6'3". Lisa Linewell, who's also been playing in that number 10 role for Hoffenheim in a season where they're back into Europe, 16-cap Kosovo international, and report from, and this is really going to the bottom of the reliability scale, I'm sorry, report from Sports Boom, who say that Ipswich are understood to be admirers of him. Stiff competition from Borussia Dortmund and RB Leipzig, apparently. I think he's a brilliant player. I do probably think he'd be out of reach for what Ipswich want. But we thought we want to bring you a little bit of everything. I can't see either of those two deals materialising, but some fun names to discuss nonetheless.
Yeah, that's what this is what it's all about, Transfer Talk, is sort of keeping up everyone up to speed, but all the links, the rumours, even the dodgy ones, because it's just sometimes fun to talk about players who you may not heard of before and go, oh,
at some point this summer, because we're going to try and get this to run through the summer, I'm going to say something is a dodgy link and it's going to turn out to be true. I'm calling it early doors. I'm going to say that's a load of nonsense, and then the next thing we know, that player is going to sign. But that's my early thought. I'm just sharing my thoughts and my feelings at the moment, but I wouldn't be expecting Aslani or Falconer to show up through the doors at Portman Road, especially with no manager yet.
Yeah, and as I said, this summer is now up in the air with potential transfer targets coming in. So I'm sure the next Transfer Talk video is going to be very interesting because we may see some new names. We may not see many players linked because of the sort of the hold up with the new manager. And AJ, me and Stu, you guys, hope you've already watched it or listened to it. There is a video me and Stu have done, look at the early contenders to replace Kieran McKenna, and sort of the bookies' favourites and links to Ashton and McKenna and stuff like that. So I hope you've enjoyed that if you have watched it. If you haven't, please go and watch it. But AJ, you've got a few left field suggestions to become the new town boss. You've done a really good piece on it, but you're going to sort of tease it. You're going to let us know a few names you're sort of added to the left field options. So you've got two you're going to give away. I think in total, was it 10?
Yeah, so by the time that this goes out, the piece would have gone out. You'll be listening to this earliest Friday afternoon, I think. This piece that I'm talking
podcast
about...
podcast will be Saturday, but...
Yeah, I'm so sure the earliest you could possibly be listening to this will be Friday afternoon. This piece would have gone out on Friday morning, looking at the left field options. And when you look through the lead contenders on the odds list for replacements for Kieran McKenna, it's your usual suspects. The one that you've primarily spoken about, Ross, with Stu in that video, where we look at a Liam Rossini, a Gary O'Neill, for example, even names like Ange Postecoglou, who are more in the public eye, even though they might be away from what you would expect an usual Ipswich appointment to look like. But I've had a look at a wider range. They might be domestic managers who you wouldn't really expect to be linked to Ipswich, or they might be foreign managers, some that you might have heard of, some that you might have heard of as players, but not as managers, and some who you just go, what? Who? What? And I think that the two RTs for you probably will fall into the last couple of categories. The first one I want to talk about is Thiago Motta, who has built his career more than anything from being a fantastic player. He was at Barcelona, he was at Inter Milan, he was at PSG. Ross, you probably remember from like FIFA and stuff like that, when he was in your teams and all of those things. An excellent player. And he's now taking his steps into management. He first was at Genoa and Spezia in Italy. They were not really great. They were fairly brief spells, but he went to Bologna and he just transformed them. They qualified for the Champions League for the first time since 1965, and that opened the door for him to go to Juventus, which was a spell that probably came too soon in his career and didn't really work out in the end. But he's still someone who's held in really high regard as a fairly young coach who's got these really interesting ideas, who focuses on a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1. It's high press, patient build-ups, rotations, overloads in key areas. In possession, it looks like a 2-7-2. I don't even know if the numbers add up there. I don't think they do, but it's really intricately built tactical systems. And that is something that I think, when you look at Kieran McKenna's profile as being a really sharp tactician, could be quite an interesting transition. So, he's one I'd certainly look at, especially where his stock is at the moment after Juventus. And the other one we'll touch on as well is Dino Tuppmüller as well, who, similar-ish, he doesn't have the kind of the glittering playing career that helped Thiago Motta get into managing, but he has come through as a coach more than anything. He was working at Leipzig and at Bayern Munich. He was Julian Nagelsmann's assistant and then kind of went off on his own route, didn't follow Nagelsmann to Germany, and instead went into management of his own, where most recently he was at Eintracht Frankfurt. He got them into the Champions League, and he's kind of built himself as a really good communicator, but a strong tactician as well. He likes working on attacking transitions. It's quite high possession, controlling games, but has that kind of mid-block base as well from the teams that we've seen him with. He's also a fluent English speaker, which I think is a really big positive when you're looking at having the right kind of communicator. So, yeah, I'm sure he's one that will want to boost his profile further. He has had talks, apparently, for the Crystal Palace job. They've gone down a different route, Palace, but certainly from an Ipswich perspective, Dino Tuppmüller is an interesting one as well. So that's the kind of profiles that I've been looking at. Got a massive piece that's gone up this morning. Let's say different kinds of players, different kinds of people, different kinds of tactics as well. They're not all snazzy attacking styles. We've got a bit of variance there. So go check that out and let me know who's your favourite off the list.
I will admit, Dino Tuppmüller, he's a massive man. I think he's 6'3". So it's just like the whole City manager. I remember sort of being
at, when we were stood there.
Yeah, and he was like, wow, he's a big man. At least with Kieran McKenna, he's not tall, was he? He wasn't tall.
5'8", maybe, like 5'9".
So you didn't feel too intimidated when you sort of walked up to him. But with like someone like maybe Dino Tuppmüller, who's 6'3", could be an interesting sort of approach when you speak to him. So, pretty much. So, it's gonna be interesting. I don't know how quickly Town will appoint a new boss. I'm sure it is not going to be an easy process, and we shall wait and see. But as I said, check out me and Stu's video discussing the early candidates. I'm sure there'll be other videos and bits and bobs we'll do surrounding potential new town boss. But AJ, another transfer talk in the books. Any other business to wrap up? The World Cup, of course, has started. So they could be in the future looking at, you know, some of the stars of the World Cup, maybe targets that Town could look at, because there's always one star, there's always one player that sort of stands out and you go, oh, could it be an option for Town?
Yeah, I'll let you into a little secret, listeners. There's a list. There's a list I wrote, and it was ready to go. It's all good to go. And then Kieran McKenna decided that Wednesday night would be the time to walk away, and it's been temporarily shelved. You will get it at some point next week. But yeah, plenty to come. We'll list off a few things, at least from my perspective. The managerial alternative, left-field managerial picks, that's out this morning. We'll have transfer targets, World Cup edition, that will come at some point next week. I think we've also got some more Kieran Maguire bits. And, of course, the Kieran Maguire podcast that will come as well. And then, of course, we'll be covering all things like the managerial saga, retained list whenever we see that, and pre-season announcements, all of those things. And it's going to be, depending on when you're listening to this, either a week or 6 days until fixture release day as well. So keep an eye on that one. Ross, it's just us working it. So all hands on deck, baby.
Indeed, my friend. But thank you, as always, for joining me, AJ, to round up all the transfer links this week. I hope you've enjoyed, as ever. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good weekend, whatever you're doing. And it's not going to stop. There's going to be so much news and stuff for us to cover. So stay tuned, stick with us, and check out all the other bits and bobs online. And we'll see you in the next Ipswich Town Transfer Talk. Bye-bye for now.